I'm Filsy.
And I'm Lynn.
And together, we're Roman Oz. Real interviews.
With real people.
On location.
With a great mix of Aussie music.
As requested by the people we interview.
Follow us on Facebook.
Or check us out. AllAussieRadio.com.au.
Now syndicated too.
Backwater Country, 87.6 FM.
Tuesdays and Fridays.
At 9 PM. All interviews are live.
And on location.
And may vary in audio quality from segment to segment.
So, Phil, what's on the show this week?
Well, Lynn, this is part two of the Boggabri Drover Campfire Show.
Right, okay.
We couldn't fit it all in last week.
We couldn't.
Impossible. So this is part two. Now, we are kicking off with...
We're kicking off with Daniel Wicks.
Yes. Now, Daniel Wicks, he's a very skilled whip cracker.
Wow.
Yes.
Those whips cracking.
We sure did. They sounded like bullets firing, didn't they?
I know, they did.
Unbelievable. So we finished last week's program, which was part one, with his father, Stephen.
Right.
And he's part of the Whip Crackers and Platters Association.
Yes, that's correct.
So his son, Daniel, he is 18 times Australian whip cracking champion.
Wow, that's impressive.
It is very impressive. Mm. And he's got a couple of sisters. Mm. They're champions
crackers
as well.
Yeah.
And his father, Stephen. Mm-hmm. He does a bit of whip cracking as well. So he's our first guest.
Right.
Then straight after that.
You're chatting to Max Maher.
Now, Max Maher is one of the artists. He's a walk-up artist.
Right.
And we saw him. Where did we see him?
At Nanango.
Nanango. Last year at Nanango. And he gets around.
Yes, he
does. This man gets around. I think he's in his 80s.
Wow.
And he loves to travel with his beautiful wife in their caravan, and he loves to go to the music festivals.
Yep, and get up and sing.
And perform wherever he has the opportunity.
Right.
Then straight after Maxi Maher, we've got...
Rex Baldwin.
Now, Rex Baldwin, he's another, I guess you call him a walk-up artist as well.
Oh, okay.
And we met him also at Nanango.
Oh, right. then, they're doing the rounds.
They're doing the rounds. But Rex is a little bit more, I guess, I won't say talented because I don't want to say anything about Max. He's talented as well. But Rex has actually got several CDs.
Right, okay.
Whereas Max doesn't actually have any of his own CDs. But Rex does, and we're going to play a song of his straight after his interview, which is from his Forever Friends album.
Right, okay.
It's a number called Telephone in Heaven. So stick around for that one, listeners. And then our final guest is
Richard Gillam.
Now, Richard Gillam, what can we say about Richard? He's a character. He sure is. And he's been involved with the Boggabri Drover Campfire event for years.
Right.
Okay. And Sam Snape, the Boggabri idol, is married to his daughter.
Oh, okay.
And a very proud man our Richard Gillam is as well, okay?
He's
got stardom in his family. And four sensational grandchildren from Sam.
Right.
Now, before we start the program, though, Lynn, I want to play a song, and this one's made famous by Johnny Williamson.
Oh,
and
right.
The Pogues have done it. Multiple people have sang this song. It's a number called And the Band Played Waltzing Matilda.
Nice.
It's a beautiful song, and I thought, what a way to start a country, I guess, because it's called the Boggabri Drover Campfire.
Yep.
What a way to start the program. And the band played Waltzing Matilda.
Nice.
And a little bit later on in the show as well, we're also going to play Slim Dusty's Waltzing Matilda.
Oh, okay.
So apart from all this fabulous music and wonderful chats, Lynn, we've also got a great selection of music
as requested by the people we interview.
So, Lynn, what do you think? On with the show.
When I was a young man, I carried a pack. I lived the free life of a rover. From the Murray's Green Basin to the dusty outback, I waltzed my Matilda all over. Then in 1915, a country said, son, there's no time for roving, there's work to be done. And they gave me a tin hat, and they gave me a gun. And they sent me away to the war. And the band played Waltzing Matilda as a ship pulled away from the quay. And amidst all the cheers, the flag waving and tears, we set off for Gallipoli. How well I remember that terrible day when our blood stained the sand and the water, and how in that hell that they call Suvla Bay we were butchered like lambs at the slaughter. Johnny Turkey was waiting, he primed himself well, shot us with bullets and he rained us with shells, and in 5 minutes flat, well, he blew us to hell. He nearly blew us right back to Australia. And the band played Waltzing Matilda as we stopped to bury our slain. We buried ours and the Turks buried theirs. Then we started all over again. So those who were left just tried to survive in a mad world of blood, death and fire. And for 10 weary weeks I kept myself alive as the corpses around me piled higher. Then a big turkey shell knocked me arse overhead, and when I awoke in my hospital bed I saw what it had done, and I wished I was dead. Then I knew there were worse things than dying, and I'll go no more waltzing Matilda all through the green bush far and free. 'Cause to hunt and tent peg a man needs both legs. No more waltzing Matilda for me. They collected the crippled, the wounded, the maimed, shipped us all back to Australia. The legless, the armless, the blind and insane, the brave wounded heroes of Suvla. And as our ship pulled into Circular Quay, I looked at the place where my legs used to be, and I thank Christ there was nobody waiting for me to mourn and to grieve and to pity. And the band played Waltzing Matilda as they carried us down the gangway. Nobody cheered, they just stood and stared, then turned all their faces away. Now every April I sit on the porch as I watch the parade pass before me. I see my old comrades, how proudly they march, reviving old dreams and past glories. But the old men march slowly, bones stiff and sore, tired old men from a tired old war. And the young people ask, what are they marching for? And I ask myself the same question. And the band plays Waltzing Matilda as the old men still answer the call. And year after year more old men disappear. Soon none of them will march there.
Oh, g'day people, Phil C here, allaussieradio.com.au, and the program's called Raymond Oz, and I am at Boggabri at the Drovers Campfire, and I'm chatting with one of Australia's finest whip crackers, Daniel Wicks. How you going, buddy?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate. Yeah, great to be on the show. Thank you for having me.
Mate, thank you for being on the show. I just saw your whip cracking demonstration. Oh, my goodness. How long have you been doing it?
Yeah, mate, we've been cracking whips now for 27 years. I've got two sisters. We did a fair bit of travelling around when we were at school as younger kids and doing demonstrations and competitions up the East Coast and, yeah, even over to Tasmania at some point. But, yeah, I guess you could say it's taken us a long way and we enjoy sort of doing the Australian tradition and, yeah, keeping things professional and passing the tradition on to these younger kids that want to have a go.
So how old were you when you picked up the first whip and started cracking it?
I think it was 5 or 6. Yeah. So, yeah, I was at Tamworth Country Music and spotted it. The old man bought me a whip. I guess like my pop had interest in horses and that, so he had a whip laying around, but not one that for a six-year-old. So Dad purchased one of them, and, yeah, the rest is history. From there, we got the two sisters involved and tripping around.
So your dad's not a whip cracker?
He is now. yeah, as like over the time, you sort of the old man knows what you're doing wrong, but he might not necessarily be able to do it himself. But yeah, he taught me a few things along the way about what I was doing wrong in my routines and what I should do to take the competitions. And yeah, I guess going to Sydney Show for the Australian titles was a big thing in 1998. I think was my first comp, and I ran fourth, and then come back the next year and practiced and really developed my skills in left and right hand. Once you work out the fundamentals, mate, the more you muck around with it and play, you seem to work out that you can do routines and challenge your coordination and really go to a competition knowing that you're going to be able to pull the trick off and get the points deserved for it.
So you've won 18 years in a row, is that right?
Yeah. So all the way from under 12s, under 16s and then through the men's ranks, I managed to put 18 titles together. Over them years, and yeah, it was pretty big achievement. And I guess the young up and comers now that are leaving the under 16s have been watching me for a few years and videoing me, so they certainly know how to do the tricks that I was doing sort of 4 or 5 years ago, and it makes it hard now. I've got a family of my own, so don't get much time to practice and whatnot, but yeah, I still give them a bit of pressure on the day, and yeah, I guess you got to just come out with something new and catch your competition off guard and yeah, really put a new trick together that's going to score high. In the scoring system, we score out of 25 now. Depending on how hard the routine is and how many missed cracks you do on the day, the judges that mark you accordingly. There's two judges. Their points get added together, and then you get an overall on the day. There's 10 tricks you do, minute freestyle, and there's also an accuracy component that you do that gets added to your final score.
So do they pick the routines for you or do you just go out there and do yours?
No, you nominate them on the day, mate. Yep. So you put your form in and say, I'm going to perform these 10 tricks and write them all down, and you go out there and give it all you got, and hopefully you pull it off on the day. Like, it's very nerve-wracking. You got blood rushing and arm pumped by trick number 6 or 7, and then you're trying to put them last few together and knot the stuff up, and yeah, your arms are like concrete. So, yeah, you just got to push through and make it happen.
So it's really physical, because I was watching you and it just looked like you were doing it effortlessly. It was just so rhythmic and it looked like, oh, this guy's just... he's doing it, but
yeah,
it is really physical on your arms.
It is, mate. There's a lot of timing involved, and to do routines, you can't necessarily try too hard. You got to just give it enough to make that crack happen, because the whip's going to change direction and be cracking again over there at the split second, and yeah, like the whip's travelling 1150 kilometres an hour to break the sound barrier. So yeah, you got to have your wits about you, not try too hard, but yeah, just force that whip enough with your flick of a wrist and get that next crack that's going to happen split second later.
And is it all wrist action?
Yeah, your wrists do sort of determine that final little flick, depending on what routines it is, but yeah, there's a lot of timing involved in practice and getting things really, really crisp, because yeah, like you'll practice a trick and you'll just get caught on the end of your whip just, and it'll be enough to stuff the whole trick and you'll end up with whips tangled around your neck, and yeah, it doesn't end real well.
Have you ever had a whip tangled around your neck, or have you ever injured yourself in any way?
Like when you're practicing and stuff, I suggest for kids at home, wear sunnies and a broad brimmed hat. I mean, your eyes are pretty important, and I was at a demonstration one day and it was late in the evening, and we finished our last comp, her last demo, sorry, and I'd forgot to put my sunnies on and got myself straight across the face.
Wow.
I just dropped to the ground, but, yeah, got back up 5 minutes later and just showed the crowd that I was still all good. But, yeah, it did sort of knock the wind out of me. But, yeah, just kids out there, if you're practicing, sunnies are the go. I've now got my 3-year-old daughter involved, and she wears sunglasses all times, and me 2-year-old son, he flicks them around, but Macy's managed to get a crack, and she's doing the basic straight cracks, and, yeah, hopefully she can get it in the left hand before the Australian titles at the Ecker. We're heading up to Brisbane again. It'll be the second year we've run it at the Ecker. They're a really great hospitality up there. They're really pushing it and putting some money behind it and getting all the sponsors on board, and it's a good thing.
So when is that?
That'll be in August, I think the Ecker is. Look that up and make sure you lock the dates in and go to the Ecker and have a look. And we'll be in the wood chop, sort of, the tent, the marquee they have set up. They clear all the wood choppers out, and we get in there on the show and just sort of do under 8s, under 12s, under 16s, men's, ladies, over 45s. And the bullock whip is a great Australian tradition that we throw in the competition. The pioneers of this country, they use the bullock whip. We sort of take it to the next level. We do the fundamental cracks. That's part of the competition, the under flick, the over flick, and just the straight crack and whatever else. But then we can do our normal freestyle that we do with a stock whip, with a bullock whip.
Because the bullock whip is a huge whip, isn't it?
Long
whip.
Yeah, they've had 5 or 6 foot long handles on them, 8 to 10 foot long thong, and then a fall on the end, and then a cracker. So, yeah, it's just it's a great Australian tradition that we sort of keep it alive.
So do you do that with 2 whips or only one?
No, that's just one, mate. You got all that leverage there, so you grab hold of the handle with
both
two hands.
Yes.
And then just sort of demonstrate the art of what the pioneers of this country did.
So do they win, have competitions for the bull whip as well?
So we hold, an Australian title for the bullock whip, and then we go to state titles, we hold the state title, and then we even hold a world bullock whip, so we just throw that in there just to keep the Australian tradition on the planet.
So you're 18 times Australian champion. Have you ever represented Australia in other countries?
I've done demonstrations in China and things like that for the RAS, and promoted the Sydney show overseas, and mm-hmm. It's pretty cool. It's something that you just picked up as a little kid, took you overseas, and you're tripping around with a couple of wood choppers and a circus performer in China. you don't go by them memories too often, so then it was an experience, that's for sure.
Fantastic. Mate, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us.
Yep.
Absolutely brilliant out here at the Bogga Bri campfire, Drover's campfire.
Yeah, just one more thing. I'd like to give the Australian Whipcrackers and Platters Association a bit of a plug. The old man's the president of the Australian Whipcrackers Club, and the mum gets involved as well, and we've got a bit of an association that we really try and keep it professional, and people go around demonstrating. If we have an event in Sydney and there's a member down in Sydney, we send them to do the demonstration, and we always sort of keep it professional. So it's too hard with public liability these days to do anything too risky, so we've got some really good members that push the great Australian tradition the right way and the safe way.
Fantastic. Mate, thank you so much for your time.
No dramas, mate. Pleasure to have been on the show.
I'm going to wind this one up now. Do you have a favourite Australian singer or band you might like to have us play a song by?
Not really, but we've got a young fella that's a local fella. He's been on Australian Idol and give it a crack. Young Sam Snape, yes. He's just released a new song, and he's probably got some more songs coming on the way. His new hit, the My Country Song. I'd like to give that one a whirl for us, mate.
Fantastic. So he's Bogga Bri's idol.
Yeah, that's right. When he was on Australian Idol, it was pretty cool. I think everyone had their eyes glued to the screen, and they well and truly enjoyed him, seeing him on the big screen.
Fantastic, mate. We're going to put that on for you right now. Thank you so much for your time. That is Daniel Wicks, folks, Australian whipcracking champion here at the Bogga Bri Drovers Campfire. And what's that song again?
Sam Snape, My Country Song.
Coming right at you, folks.
I love it when the work's all done and we have a little fun in the yard with the family. And when my wheels hit the dirt and the scrub, I've been working away and looking at me, baby. I love driving out the track, drinking out the back and watching while stars are falling. It's the first sipping beer and the laughter and the cheers and the fire that burns so brightly. And when I play it in a bed of work, it with my hands, the music is loud and strong. I love it when the crowd sings along to my country song, yeah, yeah. Country song, yeah. Come on now. With the words. I love the first smell of rain on the dust on the plane and knowing you love be your lip. And the love that can't get enough, the feeling that all is family. It's the simple things in life that fly right by. If you're not quick enough, you miss them all. Like the sound of little feet on the hardwood calling out Daddy's home. When I'm playing in a bed at work, get with my hands, the music is loud and strong. I love it when the crowd sings along to a country.
G'day listeners, Phil C here. This is allaussieradio.com.au. The program is called Roman Oz and I am at Boggabri at the Drovers Campfire event and I'm with one of the local entertainers here, folks. His name is Max Ma. How you going, buddy?
I'm going good, Phil. How are you?
Mate, I'm having a sensational time here. It's good to see you again. The last time I saw you was at Nananga.
That's right. I was at Nananga. I've been a lot of places since then.
Oh, well, tell us. Where have you been? What have you been doing?
Oh, after Nananga, we came back home and then we went to, we had a show at Evans Head that I organised at the RSL Club there on New Year's, between Christmas and New Year. Then we went to to Bingara for a New Year's Eve concert at Bingara. Then we came back home again and then we went to Gunnedah a couple of months ago. And since Gunnedah, we've been at Bingara again and now at Boggabri. So,
I saw you at Bingara. That was just last week.
It seems like it, yeah.
Yes, you were at the Bingara RSL for the Bingara Country Music Festival.
Yep.
And here you are here now. Mate, you're not slowing down.
Nope. And I'm not getting any younger because I've actually just turned 81 year old and I'm really enjoying myself and Mara and I, our health is great and we're the pair of us, we've just been married 60 years this month.
Fantastic. Yeah. Never a crossword?
No. not really. We have our difference of opinion now and again.
Of course. I was going to say never a crossword. You haven't spoken to each other in a long years.
No, we don't have any dramas.
But all jokes aside, mate, you're sounding good.
Oh, like, I hope I do.
How long have you been doing it now?
Well, I started singing when I was about 7 or 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I sang right up until my late teens. But then when we got married, we had a business and I was involved in other things in motorsport and whatever. So I gave it away for more than 50 years.
Yeah.
And about 10 years ago, Ray Esri talked me into getting up and singing a few songs down at Old Mara at a country music festival. And people come up and said they enjoyed what I did, so I've been singing ever since again. I'm so happy that I did, because as you get to this stage in your life when you're retired, it's nice to get round and meet all the people we meet, like yourself,
yes,
and all these people, we meet them at all these different festivals, and we thoroughly enjoy it. Mara and I thoroughly enjoy it.
Fantastic. And it's, I guess it keeps you young too, doesn't it?
Of course it does.
I mean, age is only a state of mind.
It's of course it is.
That says you're 80, but you don't feel it.
People come up to me, and when I tell them how old they just can't believe I'm still as good as I am for my age, and I'm very lucky, very lucky.
Good
both
on
of
you.
Us, both of us.
So have you got other gigs coming up now? So this is, we're at this one at Boggabri, so this, we've still got more than half a year to go.
Well, I've got lots more to go to, because I'm going home, and there's a few clubs that I'm involved with at home that I've been away for a couple of months, and I've got to get back into doing what I'm doing down there, because I'm the musical director in a couple of clubs at home. But then we're getting organised. We're going to Crow's Nest near Toowoomba, and we're going to Thargaminda, which is right out west.
Yes.
Then we'll be back again, and then we'll be at Anango again, and it all starts again. So,
goodness,
yes, we're going to race.
We're sort of following each other, because I'm going to be at Crow's Nest, I'm going to be at Thargaminda.
Yeah.
And I'll be at Anango again.
Yeah, well, there you go.
So
I'm looking forward to all of them.
Absolutely fantastic stuff.
Yeah.
So you're going home for a little while?
Yes, we're going to leave here on Monday.
Okay.
And we'll be home for a few weeks. But then sort of in May, I've got a couple of doctor's appointments. I'm getting cataracts done on my eyes, but that's anyway. And they reckon I mightn't have to wear glasses after that, so we'll see. But then we, I think... Crow's Nest is on in June, and then July is
Thargaminda. 15th and 21 well,
then,
of July.
Then end of August, as soon as we get to September, we're back to Nanango
back
again.
To
so
Nanango. Have you been to Boney Mountain?
Yes, I have.
Yes.
I've been to Boney Mountain a few years ago, and I've been to Texas a few times.
Yes.
And I've been to Clifton. They used to have a country music thing at Clifton. I've been to that a few times, but I still travel around them all.
Travelling around. Have you performed at these ones?
Yes,
like
I
Texas
have.
And
Boney Mountain? I've sang it, yes, all of them. Clifton, Boney Mountain and Texas, yes, I've sang it all then.
Fantastic. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
Mate, where's home for you?
Casino. We've got a couple of acres just out of Casino, and that's our home base, and we will never leave there. It's just something that we live on a couple of acres, because Mara and I both grew up on dairy farms a long time ago, just out of Lismore, and we always reckon we want to retire in the country with a bit of space, and we've got a couple of acres just 4.5 k's out of Casino.
Okay.
So it's lovely where we live.
So you're loving it. What about Mari?
Believe it or not, we're very lucky that we both enjoy the same things in life. I was involved in motorsport for a long time, and Mari and our family, I was never at a meeting anywhere that they weren't there.
Mm-hmm.
And even now, people say to me, how about all these singers? And I said, we're lucky. We both really enjoy country music. So floating around all these things, and the part that we really like, as well as the singing and the music, we like the socialising with all the people that we meet at all these spots, because they're like a big family. As soon as you drive out, g'day, we're looking forward to see you and all this, and we enjoy it. It's just part of life. And at this stage of our life, it's just nice to be doing this and meeting all these people and not sitting on your lounge at home.
Absolutely. And this is a great festival.
We came here the first time only a year ago. And I was on the program here a year ago, but we all enjoyed it that much, some friends of ours that we travel with, and we all paid a deposit last year so we could get a nice grassy spot, and we're all here again this year, so yeah, that's why we're here again. Yeah,
guaranteed you get a good spot, and you got a great spot.
All right, is it?
You could toss a stone and hit the stage, that's how close you are. So
right behind the stage, yeah.
Absolutely perfect for you.
Well, a lot of times at Nanango, I used to be just behind the stage there, but as it's got bigger, that there's more people getting in there, but I'm still not far behind, but I'm still on the infield.
You're
behind
the
stage,
infield,
which is good, really. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. Yeah. Mate, I can't wait to see you again.
I
guess the next one will probably be... Crow's Nest.
Crow's Nest, yeah, I'll be there. Yeah.
I'll see you at Crow's Nest.
Crow's Nest, we only went there for the first time last year, and we enjoyed it there, and Paul up there was helped us all the way and looked after us, and so that's why we're going there again, you know. Yeah.
Fantastic.
And that's why we keep going to Gunnedah all the time, because Rex can't do enough for you, and he's a great bloke, so yeah, that's why we go there.
Absolutely. These festivals, people need to know what's going on out here, because a lot of people think, country festival, but they're absolutely fantastic. You get to meet so many good people and be entertained by good people on the stage.
What I like about this festival, because of my age, it's like going back in time. It's like the olden days, our Billy Boylan competitions and shearing sheep and dog trials and that. And I love that, because it's not just the country music. It's the cooking scones and doing whatever. Yeah. And I love it. That's why we came back.
Absolutely.
You know?
And Damper. They're making
and
Damper.
Dampers, yeah, I know.
Oh, that's why it's called Drover's Campfire. Yeah, they're doing all that Drover stuff.
I love
stuff.
That, because when you grew up, when you have grown up in the country, it's just like going back in time, and that's what I love about it. It's just like olden days, you know, because fortunately enough, to be born when we were, to be as old as we are, we know what it used to be like. Yeah. It's not near as good now as it used to be, unfortunately, for the younger people growing up, but to see all the way that things used to be, it's fantastic.
Fantastic. Mate, I'm going to have to wrap this up now. Can I get you to sing a song for me? The last time I interviewed you, which was at Nananga, you sang a song for me.
I did.
Can I get you to sing another one for
me? I'm going to sing another one for you. I'll sing, it's a Ricky Van Shelton song, and it's called Life Turned Her That Way.
What's it about?
It's just about a lady that grew up, and people were sort of knocking her, but it's just life turned her this way, you know, like... it's just a nice song.
Fabulous. Yeah. Thank you so much, Max. It's always a pleasure to see you.
Same here, Phil. It was great to talk to you.
Thank you so much. There you go, listeners. We're going to be back with more of Raymond Oz straight after Maxi Mars, Life Turns Her That Way. Thanks, Max.
Thanks, mate.
If she seems cold, then I beg of you, just stop and consider all she's been through. Don't be quick to condemn her, for think she might say, just remember, life turned her that way. She's been walked on and stepped on so many times, and I hate to admit it, but the left foot was mine. When I met her, she cries harder today. So don't blame her, life turned her that way. She's been walked on and stepped on so many times, and I hate to admit it, but the last footprint's mine. She was crying when I met her, she cries harder today. So don't blame her, life turned her that way. No, don't blame her, life turned her that way.
G'day listeners, Phil C here, allaussieradio.com.au. The show is called Roman Oz, and I'm at the Boggabri Drovers Campfire event with Rex Baldwin. How are you going, Rex?
Good, mate. How are you doing?
Mate, I'm having a fabulous time. You're looking great.
Great, thank you.
Last time I saw you was at Nenango, the country music muster.
Yeah, when we nearly all got blew away.
It was pretty horrendous, wasn't it?
Yeah, it certainly was, certainly was.
But nonetheless, it was a fabulous event.
Yeah, it was. It was a great event.
Here you are here. What have you been doing from then till now? You've been pretty busy? You've been doing a lot of touring?
No, come Christmas and all that sort of stuff, we're family commitments around that time, but we've just finished the Gunnedah Country Music Festival, which was in the last week in March, and had a great time there. A lot of people turned up, and haven't been doing a lot of festivals, excuse me, in between, sort of getting to the end of, as I say, date of birth's catching up with us.
Okay. So you're slowing down a bit.
Yeah.
You're only really picking the ones you want to do.
Well, not only just picking the ones that we want to do. If people ring up and you know, want me to go and play, well, we'll certainly go. But I'm not out chasing work like I used to.
No, fair enough.
After 57 years, I think it's nearly ready for retirement.
About time to slow down.
Yeah.
Winding down tour.
Yeah.
Johnny Williamson's been trying to do that for about the last 4 years and he just doesn't seem to be winding down. So tell us a little bit about this festival at Boggabri. How long have you been doing this one?
This is about the fourth year I've done it, simply because we've been working elsewhere. You know, I had a band for 34 years, four-piece band, and we were away playing somewhere else when this was on. But Jeff's kindly invited us down. I think it's about the fourth time. And love it here. Nice and green. Beautiful days. Yeah, cool mornings, but days are really nice.
It's a fabulous place, isn't it? Like, it's all green and lush.
Oh, they've been fortunate. We've had so much rain come through, you know, over the last couple of months. Around Christmas time, it wasn't looking very good, I can tell you.
Pretty brown?
Yeah, pretty brown.
Pretty dry.
But it's good now. It's nice and green and, yeah, loving it.
And you're right, the weather's perfect here.
Yeah, short sleeve.
Short sleeve. Well, I'm wearing shorts as well. So it's
every day.
The weather's perfect. So you've just done a set up there, or you're playing up there base with Max Maher?
Yeah, just for Max is a friend from over Casino Way and he asked me to play bass for him, so... Mm-hmm. Help out if I can.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
And you're getting ready to do your set in about an hour or so?
Yeah, about 2:30.
Okay.
We'll play for probably an hour and a half, a couple of hours there, and see how we go.
So, what are you going to be playing? Mainly the stuff from your album, Forever Friends, or we'll do some covers, or
do some from there. So Valerie's written a few songs. I've written a few songs. We won a few awards with some of the songs that's on the albums. Won Pittsworth Bush Ballad Song of the Year. We won Bungendore Bush Ballad Song of the Year. That year, and we'll be doing some of them, some old ones, some new ones, some in between.
Fantastic. Yeah. So where are you going from here? You got anything else on for the rest of the year? A few gigs here and there?
No, not in the near future, because we've got a few doctor's appointments, as we all do when we get older. We've got to go and do a few checkups and what have you, and once that gets out of the road, then we'll worry about that then.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Likely to be at Nenango this year?
We're not sure whether we're going to... Hopefully we could be up that way, but we won't be playing, of course.
Yes.
They've booked other people to play.
Yep.
But hopefully we might be able to make our way up there. We've got a thing in October in, Lismore?
Right.
Lismore? No, Grafton.
Okay.
Grafton.
Yep.
There's a services club in Grafton on the 13th of October.
Uh-huh.
They've booked us there. A fellow rang up the other day and wants to go and play up there.
Fabulous.
Yeah. As I say, we're winding down.
Winding down.
We go up north, you know, every winter if we can.
Okay.
And you know, you play at caravan parks or little halls and all that sort of stuff just to fill in the time. But winding down, but if anyone wants us to go and play, well, it's only a matter of giving us a call.
Fantastic.
We'll see how we go.
Good stuff. Mate, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us.
No,
it's always
not
good
a problem.
To see you. Right. Are you going to be doing any more performing after your set today, or is that it for
not
you?
Not today. Tomorrow I'll do another 2-hour set tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
So, yeah, hopefully we'll get through today and stack up again tomorrow and see
how it goes. I'm sure you'll get through it, mate. You just jumped off that stage there with Max, and you're only doing the bassy there for him, but you did well up there. Sounded great.
Thank you.
You got the sound all happening, so...
Oh, well, Craig, the guy that normally runs it, he's doing shift work at the moment, and Max is sort of looking after that down there, so...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fabulous. Well, I'm going to wind this up now, mate. I'm going to play a song off your Forever Friends album. You got a favourite off that, or one you'd like the listeners to hear?
Telephone to Heaven, I think it's called, or whatever. Yeah, Telephone to Heaven, in Heaven.
Telephone in Heaven.
Yeah.
Give us a little bit of a backstory to that, mate, just for the listeners.
Oh, well, it's about a young bloke ringing up and talking to his mum.
Okay, in Heaven.
Yeah.
All right. Inspiration for that, or...?
Oh, no, it's just one of those songs that come along.
Come along?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not a songwriter by any means, but anyway, that was one that came along.
Okay. Well, we're going to put that on right now. Thank you so much for your time, Rex.
That's all right, mate. Pleasure. Anytime.
There you go, listeners. Rex Baldwin. We're at Bogger Bry Drover's Campfire, and we're going to be back with more of Roman Oz straight after Telephone in Heaven from Rex's album Forever Friends.
Well, good morning, Jesus. Yes, it's me again. I didn't call this time to get forgiveness for my sins. I called to talk to Mother. I know she's there with you. There's a phone in heaven, and Jesus put me through. Give me one more chance to tell her that I love her. Oh, let me hear her sweet voice one more time. For I want her to know how much I'm thinking of her. If there's a phone in heaven, put my mother on the line. All those things I should have told her when I still had the chance. One day, Lord, you took her with no warning in advance. So I'm begging now, please give me one last opportunity. There's a phone in heaven, let my mother talk to me. To tell her that I love her. Oh, let me hear her sweet voice one more time. For I want her to know how much I'm thinking of her. If there's a phone in heaven, put my mother on the line. Oh, if there's a phone in heaven, put my mother on the line.
Oh, there you go, folks. That was Rexy Baldwin from his Forever Friends album. The song is called Telephone in Heaven. I'm going to play you one more track now before the next guest comes up to join us. And I just think, what Drover Campfire wouldn't be complete without this song, okay? You've got to have this song because this is a traditional Australian song, Australian drovers, traditional Australian people. And we are at Bogger Bry at the Drover Campfire. So I'm going to play this track now. This was a huge hit for Slim Dusty. Johnny Williamson's had a crack at it as well. Classic Australian song. So enjoy and sing along with us, listeners.
Once a jolly swagman camped by a billabong under the shade of a coolabah tree, and he sang as he watched and waited till his billy boiled. You'll come a waltzing Matilda with me. Waltzing Matilda, waltzing Matilda, you'll come a waltzing Matilda with me. And he sang as he watched and waited till his billy boiled. You'll come a waltzing Matilda with me. Down came a jumbuck to drink at the billabong. Up jumped the swagman and grabbed him with glee. And he sang as he stowed that jumbuck in his tucker bag. You'll come a waltzing Matilda with me. Waltzing Matilda, waltzing Matilda, you'll come a waltzing Matilda with me. And he sang as he stowed that jumbuck in his tucker bag. You'll come a waltzing Matilda with me. Up rode the squatter, mounted on his thoroughbred. Up rode the troopers, one, two, three. With that jolly jumbuck you've got in your tucker bag, you'll come a waltzing Matilda with me. Waltzing Matilda, waltzing Matilda, you'll come a waltzing Matilda with me. With that jolly jumbuck you've got in your tucker bag, as you pass by that billabong. You'll come a-waltzing Matilda with me. Waltzing Matilda, waltzing Matilda, you'll come a-waltzing Matilda with me. And his ghost may be heard as you pass by that billabong. You'll come a-waltzing Matilda with me.
Oh, there we go, listeners, the late, great Slim Dusty and Waltzing Matilda. We've got time now for just our last guest, and this will wind up part two of Boggabri's Drover Campfire. Hope you've enjoyed what we've been bringing to you about this very, very special event in Boggabri. It's a yearly event, so check it out if you're interested. You won't be disappointed. They take care of you. They've got great facilities there. And if you didn't hear last week's program, check it out on the podcast, okay? All Aussie Radio on the podcast, allaussieradio.com.au is where you'll find last week's program.
Oh, welcome back, listeners. Phil C here, and I am at Boggabri Drover Campfire, and I'm chatting with Richard Gillam. How are you going today, Richard?
Yeah, great. Having a great day.
Mate, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me. And what a sensational event you got happening here.
It's a great event. Right on the highway, 220 caravans come in, call the place home for a couple of days,
yep.
Set up a little campfire. That's 500 people.
Yep.
Probably 400 of them we see, 100 of them sit back in their vans and relax.
Yeah, I've noticed that, you know. A lot of people aren't even leaving their vans. They're just chilling, aren't they?
I was talking to a couple that were 30-year-olds
yep.
from Narrabri. Yes. Narrabri is 60 k's away. I said, mate, what are you up to this weekend? You going on some tours? He yep. said, we just want to relax.
Just relax.
Just relax. Light a little campfire and sit and relax.
And it's a sensational place to do that. The sites are big, very luxurious. They're not like, you're not packed in here like you are in some tiny caravan parks, I've got to tell you.
So, right, we've got a lot of acreage here, and next year we're going to make the sites bigger.
Okay.
We run our own rule pretty well. We GPS on the tractor and we'll just make the sites bigger.
Fantastic stuff. Now, you, apart from that, you've also got plenty of toilets, plenty of showers for the people who come out here if they don't want to use their own facilities.
Well, naturally, if you've got 500 people, you've got to cater for everything.
Yeah.
There's a lot of product to come in and a lot of product to go out.
Absolutely.
You've got to take it all away.
Absolutely. But, you know, one of the things I like better than both of those things is you actually have a guy who comes around and fills up your water tanks in your caravans or motorhomes.
Well, that was a bit of an idea that came about a few years ago.
Yep.
Caravans come in, they might have come from somewhere, you know, caravaners, free camping here and there along the road, not necessarily got water points.
Yes.
It's pretty easy for us to put someone in a ute, 800 litres in a tank, and just go around and trickle that bit of water in. Everyone's happy. It's much easier to see smiles on people's face than have people whinging.
Look, I think it's a fabulous idea. I don't strike it very often. And for a gold coin donation, and I would much rather use my own facilities, because if it's cold, if it's raining like you had last year, use your own facilities, use as much water as you like, and just a gold coin donation and fill them up.
And we just keep coming back with the water. Fill you up. You're fantastic.
Now, Richard, tell us what you do. You're one of the volunteers here. So what is it you do? Because I tried to get an interview with you earlier, and you were off doing a sheep station tour or something. Tell us about what you do.
I'm not a job bloke.
Okay.
It happens to be Saturday, and Saturdays are not a bit of an odd day, so I'm here doing the jobs. No, I get over here in the morning, and we light the ovens to cook the scones and things. Get over here 6:30 or so, get fires going, damper cooking's happening. Someone's got a lot at the fires for him to have some coals.
Right.
Duck off, do a few tours, take people on a bit of a guided tour around the town.
Okay.
Just the odd job guy. Have billy boiling competition shortly.
I know. And one of the whip cracking guy. That's whips you can hear cracking in the background, folks. Nobody's getting shot out here, okay, at Bogger Rye. The fellow who does the whip cracking said that the billy boiling competition or whatever it is pretty sensational thing to see. What happens at that?
Well, you get a billy, naturally.
Yep. Yes.
A tomahawk, a block of pine wood, and about 20 matches in a matchbox.
Okay.
Don't get the matches wet.
Okay.
Whoever gets the highest, just like any competition, whoever gets the billy boiled in the shortest amount of time gets in the final.
He wins.
Well, he doesn't win. He's got to go in the final, and someone in that last top six could knock him off.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's a pretty good thing.
So they get a prize for this?
Oh, too right, yeah.
What do they get for that?
Well, last year it just so happened that I was the winner. I got a great big jacket.
Oh, you were the winner. It wasn't rigged, was it, by any chance?
No, it wasn't rigged, no.
Okay.
No, we had about 30 in it last year.
Right.
Yeah, I guess I had a bit of practice because I was here every morning lighting the fires.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine that. But, there's a lot of sensational things going on out here, apart from the music, which is absolutely brilliant. You've also got whip cracking. You've got market stalls here today. You can buy a meal, the campfire meal. How does that work?
See, right, Phil, it all started years ago. It was just a small event, 36 caravans, and it grew. We got up to 450 caravans.
Yes.
That's a lot of people.
It sure is.
So we had to feed them and entertain them. They like a little bit of entertainment. Mm-hmm. This retirement crew are a good crew to entertain. They get up at about 8 o'clock, walk around like a half-open pocket knife for an hour, straighten themselves out, have a coffee, come back. They love a scone and a cup of tea and a bit of cream on the scone.
Absolutely brilliant.
Have that, entertain them for an hour with a bit of singing, a bit of stew for lunch. They duck back off and have a camp in the van then for an hour.
Yep.
They come back over in the afternoon, another scone, a bit of cream, jam this time.
Yes.
Another cup of tea. Then it's time for happy hour, a bit more entertaining. 8 o'clock, they're back in bed. Great crew.
Mate, you've sold me. And the thing is, you got people that have been coming year after year after year after year, haven't you? This started back in 2006, I believe.
Something like that, Phil,
Yeah, and it was running right through until COVID. That sort of knocked
right,
on
yes,
the head for a
yeah.
couple of years there. COVID mucked that up. But now you're back in full swing.
Seems to be, Phil, yeah. We've got a fair... I don't want to be, putting tickets on ourselves, but we've got a fair cupboard of trophies that we've won over the years at the Drovers Campfire. We've been to a lot of places and accepted awards. Been up against the Fink Races and Tamworth Country Music Festival.
It
can get up there, yeah.
Oh, goodness. Okay. So it's a great place to come if you want to be entertained, see something different like whip cracking, or if you just want to sit in your van and just chill out.
Just chill out. Sit around, talk to mates. There's groups come and they book every year the same site. This is their meeting place. And I said to them today, do you have to have a destination to do it? And they said, I think so. We don't do it unless we've got somewhere to go. And this is it. This is where they come to. They come from the Central Coast. Come from the Tweed Valley. It's 8 hours from Tweed Heads to come over here.
Right.
Come over for a few days and turn around and go back. Get out this side of the Great Dividing Range.
So what do you think it is that just keeps them coming back year after year after year? Especially if they're driving 8 hours to get here. I mean, that's a big ask.
Oh, I guess...
I don't know.
The relaxed atmosphere, I think.
Yep.
The fact that they can see the volunteers really trying to do their best. We do the best with what we've got to entertain them, just to make them happy.
Mm-hmm.
Most people drive out of here pretty happy and pretty relaxed.
And booking
for book the, in, book for in the again. Yeah, that's right. It's got to keep going, Phil, because the bookings are here for next year.
Fabulous. And you're going to make the sites bigger next year.
We'll make the sites bigger next year. Caravans have got bigger in 16 years, 18 years.
Yeah. But you've got a lot of sites, and you've got a lot of powered sites too, power and watered sites. But you've got to get in early for them.
You've got to book, they're probably already gone for next year.
They're probably already gone for next year.
Yeah, they go pretty quick.
But the thing is, you've got big open areas, the grass is good, the sites are level, you get plenty of sunshine, so you've got your solar, and you got a man who comes around and fills your water tank.
What more can you want? That's right, yeah.
That's it.
You've got your own bed, you make your bed and sleep in it at night time, and we'll entertain you through the day.
Fantastic. Mate, I'm going to have to wind this up now. Thank you so much, Richard, for taking the time to chat with us.
Thanks, Phil.
I'm going to play a song for you now. Now, you look like a bit of a bushy. you got your Akuba on and your denim and your
cotton shirt.
Cotton shirt.
I've been classified as rustic at times.
You look like a bushman. Now, do you like Aussie, like country singers?
I do. Singers? I'm a bit of a country boy. Yeah, I'm a country music man.
Anything special you like to hear?
Oh, Sam Snape, son-in-law, sang one last night.
Okay. Sam Snape, son-in-law.
Son-in-law, yeah.
Oh, he's the Australian Idol of Boggabri, isn't he?
He is the Australian Idol, yes, that's right.
How did the town react when he auditioned for that program?
Oh, yeah, pretty big. It was a pretty big thing.
Yeah?
Yeah, it puts Boggabri on the map again for another reason.
And he was out here actually last night. He sang last night.
He did, yes.
And is he likely to sing anymore, or is that it for him?
Oh, he might have a little go again tomorrow.
Okay.
Just depends. He's that casual. He'll get up and sing anywhere.
Fantastic.
We can be working at home in the workshop, and he'll grab two screwdrivers and make a tune in the shed.
Well, I was chatting with him earlier. He's actually got a brand new song out at the moment. He's working on two more.
Yes, yes, so, very talented lad.
Yeah, he becomes more than Boggabri's idol. You might be having to become his bodyguard.
I don't know that I'm that big, Phil.
Keep all the ladies away, because he's a happily married man, girls. He's got about three children, I think.
Four children. Four children to my daughter.
Okay. There you go. Right. Mate, okay, we're going to wrap this now. Thank you so much, Richard, for taking the time to chat with us. We'll be back with more Roman Oz, folks, straight after that.
Work's all done and we have a little fun in the yard with the family. And when my wheels hit the dirt and scrub after working away, look at me, baby. I love driving out the track, drinking out the back and watching while stars are falling. It's the first sipping beer and the laughter and the cheers and the fire that burns so brightly. And when I play a little bit of work, give it for hits, the music is loud and strong. Sings along to my country song, yeah, yeah. Country song, yeah. Come on now. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I love the first smell of rain on the dust. On the plane and knowing you love be only the pride and the love that can't get enough, the feeling that all is family. It's the simple things in life that fly right by. If you're not quick enough, you miss them all. Like the sound of little feet on the hardwood calling out daddy's home. When I play it at a bed of work, get with my hands, the music is loud and strong. Yeah. country song. A country song.
There we go, folks. That is Sam Snape, the Boggabri idol, with his latest song, My Country Song.
We hope you enjoyed the show, listeners.
If you missed any, check out our Facebook page or allaussieradio.com.au.
Tune in next week for more Roman Oz.